Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Our talk is up next on Nashville Public Radio.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Angie's List, provider of local consumer reviews on contractors and doctors, now has reviews on classic car professionals. Details at angieslist.com. And
Esurance, providing car insurance shopping tools like real-time comparison quotes and coverage counselors. Learn more at esurance.com. And
T. Rowe Price, understanding the connections of a complex global economy. T. Rowe Price, invest with confidence at trowprice.com. And
Lumber Liquidators, supporting the Ronald McDonald House Charities, the National Braille Press, and NPR. Information at lumberliquidators.com. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the sloganeering department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Do we need a new slogan?
No, I think the relentless pursuit of mediocrity is still pretty accurate.
Yeah, that works.
But we're not so sure how Toyota's doing with their slogans. I don't know if you've seen the ads for their restyled small car, the Yaris.
I admit I have not seen it.
Well, the slogan they came up with after great deliberation and probably millions of dollars spent on ad agencies is, are you ready for this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yaris, it's a car.
It's a car. That's it?
Well, that is it. You know how it probably happened? The fellow at the ad agency answered the phone and said, okay, what do you guys want us to advertise? The Yaris. What's that? It's a car. It's a car? Okay, we're done.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, you know, over the years, there have been other slogans from other car companies that never really caught fire.
Oh, sure.
And I thought it would be fun to dig out a few of those, and maybe it'll make Toyota feel a little bit better.
All right, go ahead.
For example, here's one that hardly anybody remembers. Baseball, hot dogs, bathtub gin, and Chevrolet.
That's good.
Fiat Chrysler. Huh, maybe two wrongs can make a right. Porsche. There's no substitute except maybe for dumping your wife and marrying a 24-year-old. Jaguar. Slowly bleeding you to death. Honda Civic, making it impossible to figure out which car is yours in the parking lot since 1973. Mitsubishi Lancer Evo. It'll get you going faster than a plate of bad sushi.
That's great.
Cadillac DTS for when you can't decide between a Toyota Avalon and a gaudy pair of golf shoes. And my personal favorite, Lincoln. So quiet, you'll think you're already dead.
I like that one.
Well, if you suspect that your car is already dead, give us a call. We'll try to revive it if we can. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Danielle from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Hi, Danielle. Traditional spelling, I-E-L-L-E-E.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And where are you from?
Indianapolis. Have you ever been there?
No, and we don't know how to spell it either.
No, we certainly don't know how to spell it.
You guys have to come to the Big 500.
The 500. The Indianapolis 500.
What's that?
I'm just hopeless. Anyway, Danielle, what can we do for you today?
Okay, well, I have a 2001 Honda Odyssey van.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, every once in a while, when we put it into park, we are unable to put it back into any gear. It's stuck.
Oh, yeah. So you can't.
And how do you do it? What do you do?
Well, we...
So what are you calling from the car now?
I'm on I-70 hoping you guys can come pick me up.
You're in park and you can't get it out.
Right. And so what we'll do is we'll, like, wiggle the steering wheel a little bit, or we'll push on the brake, or we'll, like, say a quick prayer or something crazy like that, and then wait till we hear a click. And then we know it's unlocked.
Is it just stiff, or it doesn't move at all?
It doesn't move at all.
Yeah, uh-huh. So I think what's happening is the solenoid that is freeing up the shifter is lazy. When you, all modern cars, ever since Audi had this problem 1,000 years ago with something called unintended acceleration, they started putting in cars a device that prevented you from shifting unless your foot was stepping on the brake pedal.
Yep.
So when you step on the pedal, you close a switch when you step on the pedal. That sends an electric signal to a solenoid, which then unleashes the shifter and allows the shifter to move out of park. So somewhere along the line, either that switch on the pedal is bad or the solenoid at the other end is bad.
Okay.
So if you sat there and repeatedly pumped on the brake pedal, eventually you hear the click and then the thing is okay. And then when at that point it shifts perfectly. Is that true?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
And it responds better to me than it does anybody else.
What's the longest it's ever taken you to get it out of park?
I'd say a good 8 to 10 minutes.
You are extremely...
What were you doing during those 8 to 10 minutes?
Panicking.
Well, it's a good thing you weren't stopped at a railroad track.
No, oh, I know.
Yeah, no, you've got to get this fixed. I mean, we haven't quite honestly seen it enough in Odysseys to be able to tell you exactly what it is. But you need to take it to your repair shop. Tell them what's going on. There may even be a technical service bulletin. But I'm guessing that what they will try to do is to bypass the switch on the pedal, on the brake pedal, and see if that in fact fixes it. If that does, then it's that switch that's bad.
Okay. Is that like a costly repair?
No, that's cheap.
And if you leave the car with them, are you sure it's going to do it again?
No. That's the thing. We have no idea when it decides to do this.
Ah.
It's extremely random.
Extremely random.
Extremely random.
Yeah.
That's new to me.
I don't know. That's wow.
Not just that's, random. Extremely that's random.
That's not good.
Extremely random. That's interesting.
And it'll go months between doing it, and then it'll do it, you know, like a few days in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now every car that I know of, and yours I'm certain is no exception, has a shift lock override.
Yes, and we've tried that on top of the steering column.
Oh, and what happens when you
do... That didn't help?
Nothing. We just broke off the top of the steering column.
Oh, well, maybe it may... Well, okay, you need to get that fixed. So this is going to cost you $1,000. So take it into the Honda dealer or your favorite repair shop and tell them what's going on. They may not have to reproduce it. They may know in advance.
They may know,
yeah.
Okay.
They may know it's the solenoid or it's that switch on the pedal. But it's
unlikely that you're the only one who's having the problem.
Okay.
And so they may know something.
Okay, good.
Which is in sharp contrast to us, who know nothing.
We know nothing, right.
But anyway, the solution is at hand, and it's not going to be expensive.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Yeah, see you later, Danielle.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I'm guessing it's the pedal switch. That's what I'm guessing.
That's good enough for me.
Yeah, well, and that's cheap, too. I would just
twist
the... Never mind.
Never mind.
Hey,
tell them what you do. That would be dangerous.
Now, I remember some years ago, I had a vehicle that was overheating. Well, I wasn't sure it was overheating, but the needle was always in the red.
Yeah.
It was my Dodge van, and I was so frustrated by my inability to fix it. One day when climbing the Mohawk Trail and watching that needle creep up and get hotter and hotter, I pulled over to the side of the road and found a rock.
And
at the time, the dashboard had a piece of glass and not plastic. And I broke that glass. I mean, very judiciously broke it right in the vicinity of the temperature gauge.
Yeah.
And bent the needle so that forevermore it could never go into the red. And it ran perfectly. Anyway.
Well, that's the way to do it.
Hey, sometimes, you know, 888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, gentlemen. This is Brian from Los Angeles.
Brian? Hi,
Brian from Los Angeles. What's going on?
Well, I'm not calling about my car because I love my car. Nothing's wrong with it. I'm calling because of a way I drive that make my passengers nervous.
Really?
Nervous.
What do you do?
Well, I learned when I was driving that when you brake suddenly, you shimmy the wheel left and right really quickly to give yourself extra space or traction on the road.
Oh, so you go left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right while you're braking?
Yes.
Who the hell ever taught you that?
What? That's a stupid thing to do.
I wouldn't ride with you either. So you
said it.
You try to stay in your lane.
Hang up on this
but
guy.
But basically you're like slaloming a little bit.
Yes.
Who told you to do that?
My grandfather.
Your grandfather was a nutcase.
Actually, he was the worst driver I've ever known.
So
I don't know why.
Have you ever seen anyone else? Have you seen anyone else do this, Brian?
No.
No. It's so, me.
So I mean, I can imagine that if you're trying to make a stop in a short distance, that you can, in a sense, increase that distance by zigzagging.
Yeah.
Right? Well, it gives you more time to stop while you're knocking the mirrors off the cars in the adjacent lanes.
I mean, it clicks in my head. It works in my mind, but it drives everyone else crazy.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, maybe if you're trying to increase... So you think Grandpa was trying to increase the friction by turning the wheels?
Yeah, like the friction or the resistance and increasing the distance on the road that the wheels have to travel.
Well, I could believe the distance on the road that by zigzagging, the distance on the roads that the wheels have to travel. Imagine the extreme case where you could go between... You know, guardrail, from one guardrail to the other, if there were no one else on the road. If you had 100 yards in which to stop and you couldn't do it, you could effectively increase the distance. But you run the risk of having the car maybe go out of control.
Yeah, that's what my girlfriend's saying.
Yeah, and having her go out of control, too. So is she threatened not to ride with you anymore?
No, she actually spurred me to call you to get this matter settled.
Yeah, well, stop doing it.
Yeah, I think
that's it. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, she wins.
She wins.
Take
it's
her out
crazy.
To buy her
no
a nice necklace.
To do it.
Take her out to dinner and just say, Uncle.
She will love to hear that. She will be delighted to hear that.
I'm sure, Brian, we're going to get 5,000 email responses on our website that's going to say, you stoops, don't you know that this is a practice that's used by race car drivers, et cetera, et cetera. And there may be some validity to it, but I've never seen anyone do it, and I've never done it except by accident. So, good luck with that. Anyway, thanks for calling.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye bye. 888 Car Talk. That's
what is that?
There must be something to it.
No.
888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi guys. This is Dolores from Clam Lake, Wisconsin.
Dolores. From Crown Lake?
Well, Dolores, but they call me Dodo. That's
Dodo.
My nickname.
Yep. Well, we had an uncle named Dodo.
Do you really?
And well, his name was
Salvatore.
His real name was Salvatore, but when they came from the old country, my grandmother, who spoke no English, would call for him when he was out playing with his friends.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, 6 or 7 years old, and of course he spoke Italian as well as English.
Uh-huh.
And she would call him by his nickname, which was Tato. And his friends, none of whom were Italian, heard it as Dodo. Well, this fellow became ultimately the president of the AFL-CIO in Massachusetts. And for his entire life, I don't think anyone, including his wife, ever called him anything but Dodo.
Dodo.
Well, you know that. But I was a postmaster for 50 years in Clam Lake, Wisconsin, and named Dodo.
Dodo. Well, so you have a soulmate who was involved in the labor movement. So. Anyway, Dodo, what can we do for you?
Well, I have a 2002 Trailblazer.
Uh-huh.
And it has just turned over 100,000 miles. When you start it with your key, you know, you turn the key.
Yeah.
It makes this terrible noise. Like it was cutting through metal or something.
You know why?
Why?
It's cutting through metal.
Really?
Yeah.
Here.
Are you in love with this Trailblazer?
Oh, yes. I thought it'd make me another 100,000 miles.
Well, it will, except I think you're going to need a flywheel.
Is it expensive?
Oh, yeah. Here's what the flywheel does. The flywheel is a big wheel that's probably, you know, more than a foot in diameter. And when you turn the key to start the engine, a gear on the starter motor pops out and engages that big gear on that of the flywheel. That flywheel probably has 100 teeth on it, and the starter motor has half a dozen.
Okay.
Kind of like my brother. And what's happened over the years is that some of those teeth on the flywheel have gotten chewed up, so that when the engine stops and those teeth wind up in the wrong spot, that is right adjacent to the, where the fly, where the starter motor gear is. When you turn the key to start it, you get that ring, ring, ring sound. And then if you persist, every time you do that, the thing will move a, you know, a few degrees, and then finally you'll hit some good teeth and it'll start.
Okay.
You know, but it has, you know, the chances are, as if you have a lot of bad teeth, that it's going to stop in such a position that when you try to start the engine the next time, that that starter motor gear is going to try to engage those bad teeth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like trying to watch my brother eat corn.
Well, then I think what we're kind of, in a way, recommending, I get a different car.
Well, but in order to do this, you've got to take the transmission out.
Oh.
Yeah, it's an ooh, all right. And this is probably an all-wheel drive, four-wheel drive Trailblazer.
Four-wheel drive.
Yeah, so that's a big, heavy, costly transmission. But it's going to cost you many hundreds of dollars.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but you're going to have to do it because you know... On the, are you still employed, Dodo?
No, I'm retired.
You're retired. Well, you know, you're going to be out in the middle of nowhere someday, and you're going to turn that key. And
I live in the middle of nowhere.
Well, we know that. You might be even farther into the middle of nowhere, but you're going to turn that key, and you're going to get ring, 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 and it's not going to turn the flywheel, and the thing's not going to start for you.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're going to, you should take it to your guy. And they can pull off what's called the inspection cover and look at the teeth and see how bad they are.
Okay.
Yeah, and if they tell you you need a flywheel, go for it.
Okay.
It's a pleasure to meet another Dodo. I'll tell you, our Uncle Dodo was a character indeed.
And I'm a character too. So.
And I know you are too. a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Tommy, think hard. Do you remember last week's puzzler?
I'm seeing dirt everywhere. I'm seeing cross-generational disputes. I'm seeing piles of horse manure.
That's your house, man. Think puzzler. Actually, you're not that far off, and I'll have the question and the answer in just a minute.
I can hardly wait.
Well, I've got a little Honda. It ain't much, but it's paid for.
He's got a little Honda. It ain't much, but it's paid for.
Two doors is two few doors. Two more doors makes four doors.
Two doors is two few doors. Two more doors makes four doors.
Sometimes it's just a way to get from A to B, but B turns into C then D occasionally. That's when I don't call it a car, I call it an automobile. Automobile, take me away. Take me through the forest, through the mountains, through the bay. Take me where the trees slow dance with the breeze. Automobile, take me away. Panama to Morocco to Bombay. Take me where palm trees sway in the sea breeze. Automobile.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from the money Harvard pays us for clearing out oversubscribed broadcast courses from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Quick Lane Tire and Auto Centers, providing service for cars and trucks without an appointment, including evenings and weekends. Details at quicklane.com. And
the Charles Hotel in Harvard Square, whose Corbeau Spa and Salon offers a French-inspired treatment menu. Learn more at CorbeauSpa.com. And
Tire Rack,
whose tire and wheel specialists offer advice about tires for various vehicles, driving styles, and roads.
TireRack.com. And
the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program, towing away your car and selling it to support your NPR station, with your permission, of course.
And even though Mr. Potato Head wishes some kind child would pull his ears off whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Huntsville, Alabama helped put a man on the moon. Now NASA's slashing spending on rockets and the Pentagon's facing cuts of its own. And Rocket City, like a lot of towns that rely heavily on one big business, is finding itself in trouble. I'm John Donvan. What happens when the only business in town gets up and leaves? Plus, the opinion page. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Weekday afternoons from 1 until 3.
Hi, it's us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers.
You know, I'm having all kinds of problems trying to trade in my old car.
Oh, dealer's still insisting that it run, huh?
Exactly. If it ran, I wouldn't have to trade it in.
Well, if your old car won't leave the driveway or won't leave it reliably, donated to this station through the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program.
You'll help pay for the programs you love, and you'll pocket a tax deduction.
Pretty good, huh? Here's how to do it.
For information on supporting Nashville Public Radio with your vehicle donation, visit our website, WPLN.org.
Support for Car Talk on WPLN comes from WPLN listener members and from the Mad Platter Restaurant, practicing sustainability since 1989 and offering lunch and dinner service with daily entrees, handcrafted soups, and new menu items. Information at 242-2563. The time is 20 minutes after 9, 53 degrees in Nashville.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzle. And this was part of the mathematical series.
Can't remember it yet.
I don't remember it myself. Anyway, here it is. A landscaper returns from work and is sitting at the kitchen table with his kids. The kids ask, "Did you work hard today, Daddy?" And he answers, "I did. I planted a lot of trees." In fact, he goes on to say, "I planted 5 rows of 4 trees each." Mm-hmm. His little third grader wanted to show off her mastery of the multiplication tables. Newfound mastery.
Mm-hmm.
Says, "Oh, that means you planted 20 trees, Daddy." He says, "No, you little twerp, you're wrong."
And who the hell asked you for your opinion anyway?
"I planted 10 trees." She says, "That's impossible." He says, "Well, no, it isn't. I planted 10 trees in 5 rows of 4, and I'll give you a hint. If you look at one of the test papers your teacher has returned to you recently, you're going to find the answer on one of those papers."
Wow.
The little girl thinks for a minute and says,
"Uh-huh.
I've got it.
I think I've got it." The rain in Spain falls mainly in the
Reminds me of a great scene from Cinema Paradiso where the little kids are in third grade and the teacher asks them how much is 5 times 5. Which is cinque per cinque. And the kid can't get the answer, and the kid in the next row draws a Christmas tree. It's December 25th, 25, right? And the little kid yells out, 5 times 5, Christmas! Well,
yeah.
How did the landscaper plant 10 trees in 5 rows of 4 each?
Yeah.
What the little girl finds on her paper is something that you often find on graded papers from your third grade teacher. At the top of the page is a star.
I never got one.
Oh, dude, that's why you didn't get the answer to this either, no. You dumbo. And if you draw a 5-pointed star, just like your third grade teacher put on your papers, and you put a tree at every intersection point and a tree at every vertex,
you end up with
10 trees,
four,
right?
4, 4.
5 rows of 4 trees each. Pretty good, huh?
That is good.
Do we have a winner?
Yes, we do.
Of course, we always have a winner.
The winner this week is Cindy Cartwright from Wellston, Oklahoma. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Cindy's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can have her choice of useless Car Talk products.
Now I want to point out that while they are indeed useless, they are not inexpensive.
Right. We run a high-class operation here, Cindy.
Anyway, we have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stay tuned for that. But right now, if you've got a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Deanna calling from San Francisco.
Deanna?
Yeah.
Hi, Deanna from San Francisco.
Hi.
What's going on?
I have a car problem. I don't have a car, and I want to get one.
Oh.
That's reliable and easy to fix and gets really good mileage and looks crappy.
You want one of my brother's cars?
Yeah, that'd be great. Can you ship me one?
You want a car that looks lousy so nobody will steal it?
Yeah.
What's your budget like?
About $3,000 to $8,000.
$8,000.
And my mom wants it to be a safe car.
Oh, you have to throw that in.
So I'll settle for a bright color so I don't get run over.
And how much driving do you do? How far do you go and how often?
Well, these days I don't drive much, but when I do drive, I drive long distances. Like I'll drive from San Francisco to Southern Baja.
What the heck are you doing that for?
Well, I'm from Mexico, and I go and visit my dad.
Oh.
So down there, if I have a really nice car, it makes me a target for getting my car broken into, and that's why I don't want a good-looking car.
Oh, that's a good thinking.
So what's your reason, Tommy, for not wanting a good-looking car?
Same thing.
And I want to be able to sleep in it, too.
Oh, that's
true. I'm 5'3", so I should be able to sleep in a small car.
Yeah, what else? Anything else? You want to be a bread maker,
yeah,
too?
I wanted to have a microwave.
A microwave? See, I think you may have to give up on the high mileage, although the car I was going to recommend to you, if you can find one,
uh-huh,
is a Honda Accord wagon.
Okay.
You can sleep in it, and it's a beater. And it gets pretty good mileage, and it's fairly safe. And they haven't made them for 10 years, but you might be able to get one.
Well, that's good.
And in your price range, that's the vehicle I see you driving.
What color do you get?
Oh, what color? I think they only came in white.
Oh, really?
I don't know. No, they take
any color that it is.
Yeah, you could make it any color you want. And I think if you decorated the car with some unique artwork, then it wouldn't be, it would be a car that thieves would want to stay away from because it's too easy then to identify.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so you don't have to, your dents are good, okay, but artwork is even better.
Okay, and yeah, then it'd be all ready for Burning Man, too.
They're all ready for Burning Man. I knew you were going to be there. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, what kind of mileage does it get?
Oh, 50, 60 miles a gallon. No, you're gonna get 27, 28 on the highway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so go for it. You're gonna love
it. Do they have the? Okay.
Go ahead. What else you want? Do they have the microwave? No. The bread maker? No.
Okay. And what about cars that aren't safe? Are there smaller ones that are not safe?
Well, there are.
Oh, you want one that's not safe?
Yeah, but you're not gonna be able to sleep in them.
I could sacrifice that for better mileage.
You know, so you could get, I suppose you could get like a Hyundai or something like that, you know, which might get you 35 miles to the gallon.
Oh.
But you're going to have a car that it's not as, first of all, the Accord wagon is comfortable to drive. It's quiet.
Oh, it is.
It's
okay.
It's safer by a lot. It handles better.
Oh.
You know, and you can sleep in it.
Okay. I'm going to look those up.
Yeah. I wouldn't worry so much about, don't forget, if you get the car for the right price, you can afford to get one that gets a little worse mileage because you'll have all that extra money in the bank to spend on gas.
To spend on the artwork.
There you go. So send us a picture of you with the car.
All right.
When you get it, right? And get a white one because they're easy to see.
Okay, a white one.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
It's Neil Pater.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, boy. 888 Car Talk. See, everybody wants everything.
Oh, yeah.
But she doesn't want to spend more than $3,000.
Yeah, right. For everything.
For everything. 888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. It's Dave in Portland.
Portland what? Maine?
But Portland, Oregon, the other coast.
I got a feeling that's the real Portland, huh?
Well, to us it is.
To you it is, sure.
Yeah. But we're in the East Coast. When we hear Portland, we automatically think Maine. But that's Portland, Oregon's all right. What's going on, David?
Well, hey, we've got a little member of the family here we've had for 20 years. It's a 91 Subaru Legacy, about 240,000 miles, so it probably has a right to have a few, you know, aches and pains now and then. And it's an issue with the brakes. And having listened to you guys for years, I think I've pretty much done everything that you would recommend to do.
Oh, must have wanted some money. Yeah, what's wrong with it, and what have you done?
When you go to hit the brakes, occasionally, you know when you're pushing the brakes, and when you've driven a car for 20 years, you know right where you would feel the brakes engaged in
right,
the pedal. Occasionally, it goes past that mark. There's still brakes, but the pedal goes farther down.
Mm.
Sometimes, you know, we'll do it going forward, but one condition that I can almost always make this happen is when I'm pulling out of the driveway and, you know, turning the wheel to the right, the pedal will go down farther, but it will also make a weird noise coming from the back right wheel.
Uh-huh.
Almost like a trumpet. When I hit the brakes, it goes...
So you got a... But, of course, the car stops.
The car does stop, yeah.
All right, and then... you put it in first gear or whatever. I'm guessing it's a stick shift.
It's an automatic.
I knew that. I was just testing you. So you put it in drive, and you take off, and then what happens?
Well, then, you know, I get to the first stop sign, and most of the time the brakes will feel normal, but sometimes the pedal will go farther than it should.
Mm. And
how long has this been going on?
95.
Probably 2 or 3 months.
2 or 3 months. All right, so give us the short list of the things that you've done in an effort to address this situation.
I can tell that this list is going to be, that's it.
No, let's go ahead. Go ahead. Let's see what you got,
well,
what you got, David.
The first thing I did was I opened the hood and inspected the master cylinder for leaks.
Okay.
And didn't see any. And the fluid level was okay. I then got under the dash to look where the brake pedal is going into the other side of the master cylinder for a leak. I didn't see anything there either.
Okay.
So then with the aid of my 18-year-old daughter, she helped me to bleed the brakes, and we actually flushed out all the old brake fluid with brand-new brake fluid.
Well, the fact that you looked from underneath the dash for leaks was unfortunate because you weren't looking at the back of the master cylinder. You were looking instead at the back of the power brake booster, which wouldn't leak fluid. Rather, it would leak air. And it's hard to see air.
True.
Then the first thing you did was you looked under the hood and you looked for obvious signs of a master cylinder leak. But usually when master cylinders are faulty, they leak internally and you can't see them.
Sure.
So I think you need a brake master cylinder, unless you're going to tell us that you've already done that.
I've not done that.
No, I think that's what you need.
Okay.
Yeah, you need to do it soon, too, because eventually you're going to step on the brakes, and every time the pedal is going to sink to the floor. And I think the other noise
that's tough to stop when that happens.
It's tough to stop. Yeah, the trumpet noise, I believe, is a red herring.
Okay.
Or maybe a rainbow trout. But that's caused by perhaps a sticking emergency brake, or something like that.
Okay.
I wouldn't worry about that, but I would certainly put in a new master cylinder.
Okay.
And since your daughter is well versed in how to be an assistant brake bleeder, she can help you to do that whole process of bleeding the brakes all over again.
Perfect.
And then you can call us next week and tell us it didn't fix it.
Yeah.
We'll give it a shot.
Oh. All right, give it a shot, but I think that's what you need.
Okay.
We're guessing. No, we're not guessing. We know. All right.
I appreciate your help.
Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dylan in Salt Lake City.
Hi, Dylan. Is
Dylan.
D-I or D-Y?
With the feminine Y.
Why?
Oh, like Bob Dylan or
like
Dylan
Bob
Thomas.
Dylan. Yeah. Dylan,
yeah.
Yeah, and where are you from again?
Where are you from?
Salt Lake City.
Oh, Salt Lake City. Yeah. What's going on?
Well, I'm having some problems with my 2002 Subaru Outback.
Uh-huh.
Not serious problems, just, you know, something fun I could call you about.
Yeah. just looking for an excuse to chat, huh? Pretty lonely out there, is it?
It is. Have you ever been to Salt Lake? It's incredibly lonely.
I have been to Salt Lake. I found it kind of nice, as a matter of fact.
It is. It's pretty nice.
It's pretty hot this summer, as I recall.
It is. Not a problem right now, of course.
No, it's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's going on?
So, I have a tendency to not fill up my tank. I like to wait until the light comes on and then wait a little bit longer because I'm usually, you know, within walking distance of a gas station, so it's not a big deal. And when I do fill it up all the way, it kind of does this, like, little engine that could thing where it chugs along when I'm accelerating, like it's trying to do it but can't quite.
This is only when you do fill it up all the way?
Only when I fill it up, and only sometimes. And at first I was worried, and I thought maybe I didn't have enough oil in the car, but it only seems to be when I fill the tank up all the way.
And then when you're driving, how do you have to be driving?
Generally, if I'm trying to accelerate, and it doesn't have to be like high speeds, 30 or 40 miles per hour if I'm trying to accelerate.
Is it worse when you try to accelerate harder?
Yes.
Aha. Aha. I knew that wouldn't help.
Then why did you ask?
Well, I'm stalling for time. Now, I think what's going on has nothing to do with your filling the tank.
No, I don't. Yeah.
Rather, with the time it takes for you to fill the tank, perhaps.
Huh.
There are certain components that get affected under what's called a hot soak condition. In other words, if you shut off a hot engine, and the electronic components that are bolted to the engine, like the crankshaft sensor and other things like the ignition coil, they get hotter because you've stopped the heat dissipating mechanism by not moving the car and running the engine, and the underhood heat builds up and can actually affect some of those components so they don't operate properly.
You know, sometimes it's worse when it's hot.
Yeah, there you go. So the hotter the weather and the faster and harder you've driven the car before this refuel, I think the more likely it is that one of these components is acting up. And the most likely thing on an O2 Outback is probably the coil.
Okay.
Here's an experiment to do.
Yeah?
Fool it. Pull into the gas station, but don't get gas. Just sit there for 10 minutes or whatever, 5 minutes, whatever.
Buy a Coke.
Buy a Coke, exactly. And then drive the car away and see if it does the same thing. And I'm going to bet it does.
Okay, I'm going to try that.
And don't call back because I don't think we're going to like the answer. But
can call back.
You can call back, Dylan, anytime you want.
Oh, thanks. That's very sweet of you.
But if it in fact does what we think it's going to do, then I think you should take it to a shop and have them check out your coil and your crank sensor, and they'll do a full diag on it. They'll plug into your data port and read all the specs on the scan tool.
That sounds like it'll cost me a whole bunch.
Thousands.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We count on customers like you. How else are we going to buy our boats? And I hesitate to ask, but your check engine light is not on, is it?
No,
That's always the
part. I pulled away once with the gas pump still in there. And ever since then, sometimes the check engine light comes on because of that. So I just have to kind of mess with that door, and then the check engine light's fine. It goes away.
You mean the nozzle was still stuck in your filler?
Yeah, I had a bagel. I was distracted.
And how far did you pull the pump down the street?
just around a gas station. Then I got out and apologized.
So the thing just pulled out of your filler.
Yeah.
And it didn't spill any gasoline. Oh, I think the check engine light may have something to do with your problem.
Okay.
Yeah, and of course that's the light's not coming on because of that one transgression.
I think
something else is going on. When you take it in, have them scan it. They'll tell you what's going on. You could have a bad sensor.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
See you, Dylan.
Bye.
Bye. All right, look, it's time to take a short break.
Sure, why not?
Well, one reason why not is that we haven't done anything to deserve it. But we'll take a break anyway. Hey, why not, right?
Sure.
And when we come back, we'll have a brand new puzzler, which is from my African Rainforest series.
Ooh, okie dokie.
And we'll have more of your calls, too, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, now, baby, get into my big black car. Hey, now, baby, get into my big black car. I gotta show you just where you are.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from removing all reading material from our waiting room and then renting magazines to our customers by the minute from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Esurance, offering tools to help customers track car repairs online or with a smartphone. Esurance Car Insurance at esurance.com. And
the Healthy Back Store,
offering the car cush, seat support, and other travel and back care products.
Learn more at healthyback.com.
And Goodyear, where designing tires from the moon to the racetrack inspires what goes into tires for everyday driving. Goodyear, more driven. And
T. Rowe Price, understanding the connections of a complex global economy. T. Rowe Price, invest with confidence at TRowePrice.com.
And even though humans ask ostriches to show them the head in the sand trick whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hearing voices. A few days ago, I sat in the passenger seat of a truck with my M16 pointing out the window as I crossed the border into Iraq for the first time.
Iraq and Afghan vets.
These service members that are severely wounded, they're not going to miraculously heal as soon as this war is over. You know, nobody's going to wave a magic wand and they're going to be able-bodied.
Veterans, this week on Hearing Voices.
Saturday afternoons at 2 and Sunday nights at 8 o'clock.
Support for Car Talk on WPLN comes from WPLN listener members and from the Bridgestone America's Trust Fund. With a reminder to drive safely on our roads and check your tires every month, more information is available online at tiresafety.com. And by Solar Insulation, specializing in pale and optically clear window film designed to conserve energy and reduce fading on rugs, fabrics, and furniture since 1975. More at solarinsulation.com or 329-2500. And by MTSU's Adult Degree Completion Program, providing custom-tailored degree programs for working adults. Information at mtsuanytime.com. The time is 9:39. It's 55 degrees in Nashville.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm paying attention.
Really?
Okay, that's a stretch.
All right, here it is. You ready? Right,
yeah.
Pay attention. I know you said you were paying attention.
I'm gonna, yeah.
This was sent in by Jim Hawking, but I had to mess around with it a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, and here it is. He says, I work, what intrigued me was the first couple of sentences of his letter.
Ah.
I work in a small country called the Central African Republic, which is severely underdeveloped.
Ah.
My trained national team, I trained them, does a fantastic job of keeping things, i.e. our vehicle, going. But despite their fine efforts, things do go wrong. We were traveling one day through the middle of the rainforest on what is called the Fourth Parallel Road.
Fourth Parallel Road.
Yes. When, lo and behold...
Wait, what does that mean?
I don't know, but I like it. Oh. It's like inky shadows. I don't know what the heck it means.
Okay, go ahead.
When the right front caliper of our 2004 Nissan Patrol fell off. Evidently, the individual who performed the last brake job had neglected to tighten the two mounting bolts sufficiently, and those two bolts fell off, as did the brake pads, somewhere on the 75 miles of unimproved road that we had just traveled.
Lucky you.
And the caliper was now attached to the truck only by the rubber hydraulic brake hose dangling there. By the way, this caliper went unnoticed, this dangling caliper went unnoticed, until I attempted to slow the vehicle on a downhill stretch and felt her pull to the left, of course, because the right front wheel wasn't working, while the brake pedal sank ominously toward the floor. Now, finding the lost bolts or reattaching the caliper in some fashion was absolutely out of the question. Did I mention we didn't have any tools? But I did feel confident that we could press on with three brakes working if only we could somehow disable the dangling caliper. Right?
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, did I mention we didn't have any tools?
No.
So while four of us pondered the situation, kind of like magic, a tribesman just appeared out of nowhere and offered his assistance. Did I mention he didn't have any tools either? Now, while one of my team explained our predicament, the tribesman squatted by the front bumper and studied our caliper situation.
Yeah, yeah.
He then kind of walked up and down the road as if maybe he was looking for the bolts that we had lost. And after a while, he came over and he pointed to my shoes and he asked if he could have my shoelaces. I watched with skepticism, great skepticism, I might add, as he began to wrap the laces around the caliper and then secure it to the undercarriage so it wouldn't drag, I guess. I was sure this guy had no idea that after a few applications of the brake pedal, that caliper piston would pop free, spilling our brake fluid onto the mud that we would be traveling on, leaving us stuck in the middle of what?
Nowhere. Yeah, I knew that.
As he told us to proceed, we'll be safe now, he said. I studied his repair. I kind of got down there and looked, and I looked more closely. By Jove, he was right. We would be safe. And we did complete our journey safely, albeit with just three working brakes. The question is, what did he do to make the truck safe to drive? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the bezel of a Toshiba 55-inch glasses-free, very important, 3D TV with 16:9 ratio LED backlighting, 3840 by 2160 pixel resolution, and facial recognition to identify viewer position and optimize the picture for that angle, and send along with the 3D gift set of Bikini Car Wash 1, 2, and 3 to Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge,
our fair city,
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
Now, if you have a question for us right now, give us a call. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Nicole from Centerline, Michigan.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Centerline.
Yes. It's a city within a city, about I would say a square mile wide.
Huh. So let me get this right. So the city of Centerline is in the midst of what other city?
In the midst of Warren.
Warren. So if you were in Warren and you wanted to go across Warren, you'd have to drive through Centerline.
Yep, indeed you would. And then you'd find my house right smack in the middle.
Really?
Really?
Who came up with this stupid idea?
Good question. I've yet to find out.
So what's happening?
Well, I have a coming-of-age conundrum for you guys. And my question is, at what point in a young lady's life does she do as her father does versus doing as he says?
Are you the young lady in question?
I am indeed the young lady in question.
We might have to know the details.
Yeah, give us a clue about what is it he's telling you to do.
Okay, well, what had happened was a couple of years ago, my dad and his best friend had found an ad for a 37 Chevy on the internet.
Uh-huh.
And his friend definitely wanted to go check it out. So they decided to fly out to Washington State, and he ended up purchasing it on the spot there.
Huh.
And so they drove cross-country with this 37 Chevy, no tools, through a tornado, through a storm, all the way back to Michigan.
Oh, there are a couple of loony birds. Anyway.
Oh, tell me about it. I keep trying to convince them of that. That's why I called you guys.
Yeah. So continue.
So anyways, this past summer, I wanted to pack up my 2009 Subaru, very safe, reliable car, Impreza. And I was going to do that with my stereotypical plaid flannel and my handful of a Husky and drive out to your fair state of Massachusetts to do a weekend camping trip. To which my father said, oh, definitely not. That's way too dangerous. You can't rely on that car. And I kind of stopped and paused and, really, Dad? So that is why I decided to call you guys.
Well, it's pretty obvious that you should have just then turned around and said, well, I guess I'll take the Chevy.
Yeah.
I mean, that made it all the way from Washington, right?
That's true.
Yeah, so he's concerned about the fact that the car is not safe or reliable, but you're not safe and reliable.
I have a feeling that's it. He's here pacing, shaking his head at me. So
Oh, he's right there with you?
Yep, he's right here with me.
Oh, he is.
Would it have made a difference if you had a companion?
I believe it might have. But I am not sure. It was kind of an overall, that's too dangerous of a trip.
Well, are you old enough to make these kinds of decisions on your own, Nicole?
I would imagine. I'm 24 and I live on my own, so I made it that far.
Yeah.
And how long were you planning to be in our fair state?
Only for a weekend, about 3 days.
You won't even know you're gone.
That's what I said.
Well, when he calls you, does he call you on your cell phone or your landline?
Cell phone, usually, yeah.
Huh. You're all set.
Know.
Yeah, just make sure that you know what the weather is like back home. So when he says, boy, it's really raining, you say, oh, yeah, boy, it's really rough. Boy, this is a tough call. You hate to defy dear old dad, but there comes a point, I guess, where you have to just do it.
I know. I had told him, I said, he had adopted your guys' philosophy of being unencumbered by the thought process on making that drive home. I said, why not let me do that, too?
Yeah, well, he had a companion with him, and he's a guy, and he figures even though he's a geezer, he's all right being alone. So he's worried about you. So what could we do to allay his fears here?
Well, I'm not sure. You guys want to talk to him? Maybe you can do a little convincing.
Oh, what's his name?
Dean.
Dean. Let's put Dean on the phone.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Here he is.
Hi, Tom and Roy.
Hi, Dean.
Hi, Dean.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
We're doing all right. Dean sounds very concerned.
Yeah, I was hoping I wouldn't have to come to this.
Well, yeah, we
you know it wasn't going to work, though, didn't you?
So here's the basic issue. Why don't you trust Nicole? What do you think is like? She has practically a brand new car, so it's not likely to break down. Although she could have a flat tire or some such thing.
Right.
I mean, any number of things can happen, but deep down inside, is she a little harebrained?
Well, just between you and me and the lamppost, yeah, you know, just a tiny bit.
Yeah, that'll do it.
But don't let that get out.
No,
and a few million people listening.
all of her friends. So what about her? What about her don't makes you not trust her? That makes you think that she couldn't.
Not that I don't trust her. It's just the other world out there. You know what I mean?
So how about if she had a companion? Would that be better?
Yeah, I would think so.
How about the dog?
that dog's not going to be any help in any kind of situation.
Dog's not going to cut the mustard, huh?
No, not unless you need somebody to bark, and he's good at that.
Yeah.
This boils down to my father's rule. Because I said so, that's why.
Oh, because I said so. But she is 24.
Yeah, I know. That's not going to hold up very much longer.
No. You've got about one more week, I think, of that. Well, this is a tough issue. And we never want to put a riving knife between a father and a daughter. But I think we have to side with the daughter. And if she's going to have her cell phone with her and she is going to exercise all due caution, I think we have to encourage you to let go.
Okay.
No, I can see this isn't going to be good. Hey, we're going to lose another listener.
No, but 24 is an adult.
Yeah, she's more than an adult. And I think here's the compromise you try to make with her, that she tries to get a friend to go with her.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could live with that.
Yeah, and you hope that two people that are harebrained aren't more harebrained than one person that's... But anyway...
Yeah, right. That's like the guy, like two people could be dumber than one person.
Yeah, we've demonstrated that on a number of occasions. Anyway, can we speak...
Oh, oops, I didn't mean that personally.
That's okay. No offense taken. Can we speak to Nicole again?
Okay, sure.
Great. Thanks, Dean.
Nice talking to you guys.
Same here.
Oh, man.
Okay, so here's what you got to do. You got to tell him you're bringing a friend.
Okay.
Might not be a bad idea, right?
That's right. It may be a little more fun that way if they can survive the trip with the dog.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a weekend.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, sure. Why don't you take the friend and leave the dog with Dad?
Oh, he'd love that. That'd be great, especially after what he just said. Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, I think the dog stays with Dad and you and a friend go.
Sounds great. We'll come and visit you guys.
Yeah, tell Dad if anything goes wrong within the city limits here, we'll take care of you.
Perfect.
So when's this? Next week? You coming next week?
Right.
All right. See you then.
See you then.
Okay. Great.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Dean will never listen again. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hi. This is Pat from Anchorage, Alaska.
Pat, what's going on, man?
Hey, I've got a crazy idea, and I want to see if two experts can tell me how crazy.
Well, we know you've already had one crazy idea.
Yeah, you moved to Alaska.
So what's the second crazy idea?
Well, I like to get a Model A car, and I like to put a Prius engine in there. Is that feasible at all?
You couldn't do it down here, but you can do it in Alaska. Is it feasible? And why, pray tell, would you want to do this?
Well, I've always liked to have an antique car, and I thought it'd be fun to have something I could drive every day. I have a Prius now, and I enjoy the mileage and everything else.
But you don't like the look of the Prius.
Nah, it's all right. It's just okay.
I think you'd be better off putting the body of a Model A Ford on a Prius and having someone fabricate. In other words, if you start messing around taking things out of a Prius and putting them into a Model A Ford, you're not. How old are you?
64.
You're not going to live long enough to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't got a shot, man. You're going to have somebody fabricate maybe a fiberglass Model A Ford.
Oh.
You remember those kit cars? For a long time ago, Volkswagens, somebody was making for Volkswagens a thing that made it look like a Mercedes, not a Mercedes, a Rolls Royce.
I remember those.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So there are probably plenty of creative people who would be willing to make you something that would basically replace the skin that's on your car with another. It would be expensive.
Oh, yeah, okay. I was thinking about not necessarily taking my car. I would like to get a Prius engine into the old Model A or even an old antique car.
You interested in driving this thing or just having it in the living room?
Oh, no, driving it. I'd like to drive some year-round.
Yeah.
Depending on how it operates in the snow and the ice.
So you would want to take the entire drivetrain of a Prius, not your Prius, but some Prius.
No, not my Prius, no.
No, because you know this is going to be a 25-year project. and you would want to put that into a Model A.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you'd have to obviously put the wheels from the Prius because you need the regenerative braking and all that. And is it doable? Of course it is.
What about some of the cars in the 50s? Could you do it there?
You might be better off with a bigger car, but then you run the risk if the car is too massive that the drivetrain of the Prius can't move it. So you sit there, you can start it up and listen to the radio, but you're not going to be able to drive it. You know, I don't know. There are some things that shouldn't be messed with. On the other hand, how else does humanity make progress?
That's right.
Without crackpot screwballs and nut jobs and people willing to do something that's never been done before.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, I think you should go for it. And keep us posted. You'll need a blog if you're gonna you gotta do this, right? If you're gonna do it, you gotta blog it, and so we can keep track of your progress, and we'll be able to come and visit you in the mental institution after a few years when you've lost your cookies. But in the meantime, you'll have a lot of fun. Go for it, man.
Okay, thanks.
All righty, keep us posted.
Good luck.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Well, you know what? It's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher Penalosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Daly Perotti, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the St. Louis, Undoey, Chop Suey, Moose Shoey, Crab Louie, Ratatouille, Really Chewy, Beast Dewey with you, Louis Dewey, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Hey, Would You Buzz Off. Our TSA screener is Pat Matukas. Our director of disaster preparedness is Evans Dubetsy. Our Mercedes specialist is Hans Mieterwrench. Tom's relationship counselor is Wyatt Sover. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. Our professional cleaning service is provided by the Weinstein Brothers. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the happy-go-lucky jackhammer operators in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1146, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, what do you do when it's time for a new car?
That's easy. You sell your old Jeep to my brother.
Sure.
Or even better, you donate your used car to this station. You get a tax deduction, the station gets the proceeds from the sale of the car, and my brother doesn't have yet another heap lined up in his driveway.
Yeah, but I like heaps.
It's tough. For more information on donating your used car for the benefit of the station, click on the vehicle donation link at our website, cartalk.com.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Lumber Liquidators, providing hardwood flooring for the home handyman and professionals. Catalogs are available, 1-800-HARDWOOD. And
Quicklane Tire and Auto Centers, servicing cars and trucks with factory-trained technicians at locations nationwide. Learn more at quicklane.com. And
the Charles Hotel in Harvard Square, whose Corbu Spa and Salon uses locally sourced ingredients to craft scrubs and lotions. CorbuSpa.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham and Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though thousands of angry listeners decide to occupy their ears with cotton whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
And this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule for all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. Support for our programming comes from Zeitlin & Company Realtors, Patty Carter, Sue Chilton, Eve Stewart, and Stephen Carr of Zeitlin & Company Realtors, professionalism in real estate service. More information is available at ZeitlinRealtors.com. And by Lipscomb University's Institute for Conflict Management, an educational partner to Middle Tennessee's Center for Nonprofit Management. Application deadline for 2012 Nonprofit Scholarship Award is December 1st. Details at icm.lipscomb.edu. And support comes from you, the listener. You can become a member or renew your membership online anytime at WPLN.org. Mostly sunny skies today here in Nashville with a high in the mid-60s.